conception, and organization of the book. Our purpose in creating this volume is twofold. For readers who are already familiar with the life and work of Hugh Nibley, we hope this book will provide a more full account of the story behind the writings, their biographical, historical, literary, and scholarly contexts. For the many more who have never read anything by him, we hope that the fascinating, mostly second-hand accounts in this book will provide encouragement for them to read Nibley's own works. To read these works is to understand the man, and to better understand the gospel of Jesus Christ and the cause of his restored church, a cause to which Nibley had ultimately dedicated his life. For a more comprehensive biography, readers will want to consult Hugh Nibley, A Consecrated Life, the meticulously researched and brilliantly executed magnum opus of Boyd J. Peterson. They will also want to read Alex Nibley's marvelously detailed volume, Sergeant Nibley, Ph.D., Memories of an Unlikely Screaming Eagle, a moving chronicle of Nibley's experiences in World War II. Finally, they must see the powerful film, The Faith of an Observer, Conversations with Hugh Nibley, a video production that provides a splendid visual panoply of the things that mattered most to Hugh. By way of contrast to these biographical works, the present book, whose title is a deliberate echo of the name of the film, is a kaleidoscope of portraits, perspectives, and memories from family, friends, and colleagues, observers, as it were, of a preeminent observer. Because these accounts spring from multiple events, individuals, and time frames, some explanation of how this book is organized may help the reader navigate its contents. For those contributions that have previously appeared in print, details about their original publication is given in the first note following the chapter contents. Part 1 of the present volume, entitled Portraits, contains a first collection of observations, a valuable orientation to the entire book. The section begins with a spiritual portrait of Hugh Nibley by his close friend and colleague John W. Jack Welch. It was originally prepared in 1985 as a tribute for Hugh's 75th birthday, preceding the premiere screening of The Faith of an Observer. The second essay is Rebecca F. Everett's description of her physical portrait of Hugh that now hangs in the ancient studies room of the Harold B. Lee Library at Brigham Young University, a room named in Nibley's honor. The third essay is a biographical portrait by Hugh himself. Though it was prepared in 1978, it remains one of Nibley's most popular publications, as the numerous citations to it in the present volume attest. It provides a useful glimpse of Nibley's inimitable writing style, entertaining, witty, trenchant, and enlightening. Part 2 of the book is entitled Nibley the Scholar. We owe both the first group of chapters in this part and the genesis of the entire book project to the rediscovery of almost forgotten audio recordings of the BYU Neil A. Maxwell Institute for Religious Scholarship lecture series celebrating the centennial of Nibley's birth in 2010. Through the generosity of director J. Spencer Fluman, permission to use these recordings was given to the editors for use in this volume. They were then transcribed, approved, edited, and in some cases expanded and updated by the original authors or their representatives. Following the group of chapters from the centennial event is an additional set of chapters by other colleagues of Nibley that provide perspectives on his research that would have been equally at home as part of the original lecture series. One of the most frequent questions about Hugh's writings has to do with the accuracy and authenticity of the numerous and wide-ranging footnotes from obscure sources that profusely decorate his articles. The essay by Shirley Ricks, one of several highly professional and commendably patient editors who endured the challenges of putting Nibley's writings to print, includes authoritative answers to questions about the footnotes, as well as several entertaining stories about the process of editing Hugh Nibley. The views in Part 2 provide a representative sampling of how Nibley's unusual proclivity and preoccupation with learning was viewed by his family and peers. Together, this group of essays provides readers with the biographical and academic background necessary to better appreciate the remarkably broad swath of scholarly domains that influenced Nibley's outlook and, in turn, that his work enriched. In his efforts to break down the Procrustean molds that both shackled and artificially isolated the various disciplines that he encountered, his criticisms and contributions are more relevant today than they were when first written. Part 3 of the book provides a closer look at Nibley the man. The first collection of chapters, provided through the kindness of the remarkable children of Hugh and Phyllis, consists of funeral tributes expressed by family members in 2005. These remarks are augmented by the moving homages and testimonies of friends Jack Welch and Dallin H. Oaks, former president of BYU and currently a counselor in the First Presidency of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Adding further to the family portrait of Hugh is an article written about Phyllis, Hugh's loving companion, that first appeared in the BYU newspaper, The Daily Universe. The present volume is affectionately dedicated to her. A final essay written on the occasion of Hugh's passing by his friend and colleague Lewis Midgley rounds out the collection of tributes. Part 3 concludes with additional personal stories, perspectives, and reminiscences about Nibley. The first essay in this section is adapted from Jane Brady's master's thesis, drawing from the rich collection of BYU folklore on Hugh that has been meticulously gathered and collected within the BYU Library's special collections. These stories provide persuasive evidence of the observation of former church historian Leonard Erickson, who said, quote, "Just because something didn't really happen doesn't mean that it's not true," end of quote. Alex Nibley provides a timely collection of remembrances in an essay with the title, Hugh Nibley, World's Worst Politician. It describes what it was like to be a son to a father who was then one of the few Democrats in Provo. In this chapter, anecdotes illustrating Hugh's fearlessness in championing generally unpopular political principles and causes are coupled with demonstrations of his passion for fairness and integrity. In politics, as well as in every other temporal pursuit, Nibley was determined to be, quote, "in the party, but not of the party," end of quote. Two sets of reminiscences by valued editors and cherished colleagues of Nibley, Don Norton and Stephen D. Ricks, provide unique stories and perspectives on their lifelong friendships with Hugh. Part 3 ends with delightful summing up of the entire volume. Gary Gillam's chapter is entitled, Hugh Winder Nibley, The Man, the Scholar, and the Legacy. Gillam characterizes Nibley and his scholarship as a huge, windy nebula. As an appendix to his essay, Gillam shares an almost encyclopedic collection of materials culled from his journal and from the classes he taught about Hugh Nibley and his favorite themes. Drawing from his experience as Nibley's librarian, he presents some interesting surprises from the Nibley archives. Have you ever wondered how many languages Hugh Nibley knew? The rich index of subjects at the end of the book provides a different way to discover Hugh Nibley. Here you will find separate groups of listings that guide the reader to pages that describe anecdotes, attitudes and characteristics, family life, folklore, life events, personal interests and influences, perspectives, physical appearance, and background material relating to specific writings and speeches of Nibley. Despite the inevitable limitations of this volume, we hope it will be a worthy tribute to Hugh Nibley and to his family, and that it will satisfy and enrich his many friends, both old and new.